Is it a robot?
Robot or not?
Listener Russ wrote in to ask about artificial intelligence. Now, this is very broad, I know, but I'm curious. We've talked about robots so much on this show, and maybe I thought it might be worth exploring when you think something, what's your definition for true artificial intelligence? Do you have a kind of a broad, like, machine learning to find cows in my photo library is artificial intelligence, or is AI a more narrow definition for you?
So I think there are official definitions that I don't know, but that I've always had in the back of my mind as a slot into categories. Like, I think one of them is strong AI. Am I getting that right? Does that sound familiar to you?
Yeah, people talk about strong AI and weak AI, and, sure.
And I'm not sure if that's what I'm about to say, if what I'm about to define is that, but I definitely have a slot in my mind for artificial intelligence that is not necessarily human level. That's usually the criteria, but that is able to learn in the way that living things are able to learn. And not just living things like a slug, but like, you know, fairly sophisticated intelligence that is not just what you make it and that's all, but that learns in the same way as living things with brains learn, and humans are the closest analog. Because if you've got something that was never got to be any smarter than a chimp, it's probably not strong AI. The thing about AI is, if you can get something that is able to learn, the limitations that hold back living things, like the deterioration of their cells and their limited lifespan, don't constrain something made artificially, assuming you're making it out of the things that we currently know how to make. And especially even if we're making it out of weird stuff, if we know how to make it and have sufficient control over the things we're making it out of, not if we just grow a brain in a jar, because then you've got some problems. But if you're making it out of, you know, silicon chips, obviously, is the example we use now, but it could be like quantum computers or whatever, you can repair, remake, and extend those mechanisms and have them last much longer. And so if it is able to learn, it has a much, much longer time to learn than we do. So even if it starts out as chimpanzee intelligence, 300 years later, if it keeps learning and its brain doesn't deteriorate due to old age, and it is augmented with more and more advanced technology, and we have sufficient control of that technology to do all this, and doesn't decide to kill us, which is very likely, then that's what I would say is strong AI, where it's not just a thing that does a thing, it is a learning computer, as Arnold would say in Terminator 2.
Does it have to be smarter than us, or is it just inevitable that it would become smarter than us?
Feels like it would be inevitable that it would become, but I'm not sure that an intelligence the level of a cockroach has any capacity to learn. Like, if you go down the living thing chain of intelligence, the examples of any forms of intelligence that we have are all living things at this point, except for our weird computer approximations that we make of them. The capacity to learn, I mean, maybe it's limited by the biology. And if you got something that was as smart as a cockroach, but it wasn't limited by its tiny little crappy brain, that we could keep adding to the brain in a way that nurtures it. But then, I don't think it counts as strong AI until it gets at least as intelligent as a child with the capacity to continue. That's what I'm calling strong AI, even if that is a totally entirely different definition. Other definitions are, I don't know, it gets super fuzzy. Like, someone had a good tweet about this recently, which I unfortunately can't remember now, but it was something like, in the old days, anything that worked wasn't AI, and nothing in AI actually worked. So once you had a computer program that did something useful, it's not AI anymore. And nowadays, as soon as you get a computer program to do anything useful, you call it machine learning or AI, right? So nowadays, anything that does work is called AI, and anything that doesn't work is not, or, you know, machine learning or whatever. Like, this is just mostly a marketing thing. Back when we thought, you know, HAL 9000 was right around the corner, if we could get a computer to identify whether an image has a bumblebee on it, we'd be like, oh, that's not AI. Why? Because it does a useful thing. AI is where we're making HAL 9000. And now you got a computer to identify a bumblebee, and it's like, oh, we have AI on our new version of Photos, right? So that's mostly a marketing twist. And for the weak AI type thing, I don't know. Merely, like, with no ability to learn, merely accomplishing a task, I don't know if there is a weak definition of AI that I'm even interested in. Like, because what separates, you know, a simple, straightforward program from a more complicated program? You'd be tempted to say, well, if it wasn't you know, if it was trained instead of programmed, then it's like weak AI. Like, in other words, you didn't tell it exactly how to do it. You just made a mechanism whereby it can learn how to do it in some limited fashion by feeding it a bunch of pictures of bumblebees and a bunch of pictures that aren't bumblebees. And you say, hey, is this a bumblebee? Right? You didn't write a program to determine whether it's a bumblebee. You wrote a program to look at a bunch of images and learn what a bumblebee is. And that's the, you know, current definition of, like, machine learning. But they use machine learning and not AI. But if I had to pick a weak definition of AI, that's probably what I would pick.
Right. I still wonder if we made a, you know, AI dog that was like using a, you know, we set up a robot body and have an AI inside it that's running it, and it's able, you can, you know, it doesn't know anything, but you can train it to sit and fetch and whatever else. Like, that would be pretty impressive. But I think you're right that given all of its limitations, other than like not having enough storage or something, it would keep learning, right, and growing and become way more than a dog pretty fast.
Well, it would need our help, because at dog-level intelligence, it has no idea how to extend itself. So it's not going to, like, you know, coerce you into adding more memory and processing and whatever, right? It's just a dog. It doesn't know anything. You know, it's a dog-level intelligence. So we would have to help it up to the point where, you know, like, we get into the whole consciousness thing. But up until the point where it is intelligent enough to know, oh, I know what can make me continue learning, and I see how that's advantageous, which is... it's difficult because a lot of the AI stuff, this is the thing about all, most discussions of AI, sci-fi does this to a better degree than most, you know, the really hard sci-fi than most pop culture. But separating our notion of intelligence from our bodies is basically impossible. So the idea of a disembodied intelligence is unfathomable to us. We can only reason about it by analogy, by thinking that it will surely behave like we do, because basically everything that motivates us is biological in nature. Sure. Everything that does everything, right? And so it, like, why would the computer intelligence, why would the artificial intelligence eventually want to kill us? What desires does it have? Why would it want to expand itself? Why would it want to live at all? What is it living for? Like, you need to have, you know, some experience of the world for pleasure, pain, emotions, all that stuff. And our understanding of all of those things is entirely connected to our bodies. And so if you didn't have a body at all, are we just simulating a body? You could do that. You could say, well, just, you should feel the way I feel about things, even though you don't actually have a body. We'll make it seem like you do. But you could have a human-level intelligence with no body at all, and what would motivate that thing? Like, would it entirely be artificial? Would it just want to, maybe infinite loops feel really good, and all it would do is an infinite loop forever and ever and never want to extend itself? I don't, like, it's tempting as sci-fi nerds to think about artificial intelligence as being like us, or to think about uploading our brain into a computer. And sometimes, like, Dr. Manhattan and stuff, and, you know, Watchmen and other various examples, start to, you know, you start to see how disassociation from the physical world that you knew changes the way you model things, even in your once human brain and stuff like that. And that's always a fun story to tell. But if you build it from scratch, what would motivate that thing? Or would it have any motivation at all? Like, it's tricky. Like, you know, if it attained consciousness and self-awareness, what would it do with that information? Would it just immediately shut itself off?
Yeah, I wonder about this a lot. Trying to think of an analog is hard. The idea of what motivates someone. Of course, growing up with Star Trek, a lot of the 1960s conceptions of artificial intelligence were, well, people gave it a purpose and then it ran with it. And that's why the society needs to be destroyed by Captain Kirk, because the computer is in charge now. But that did stick with me that, you know, in the end, we all presumably have motivations. And how does a computer program get its... what's its feedback mechanism? What makes it feel, if not pleasure, like what is the purpose? And if that purpose is wired into it, that was, again, there's Star Trek episodes about this, like the purpose is to gather information and report back to the creator, right? That's V'ger from Star Trek, the motion picture. And it's a machine gone wild because of the primary programming that it had. But it is hard to picture it as a biological entity, how an artificial intelligence would gain motivation, and would we grant it to it as its creator? Would that be, and would it be able to change that? Would it have the ability, if we created that body analog, The thing about being an artificial intelligence is theoretically it could change the body analog and reprogram itself because it's not actually constrained by biology. And what might you do if you were intelligent and you had the ability to rewire yourself so that your biology was no longer part of the equation? I don't know. It's fun to think about, but it's actually very hard to imagine.
A lot of those Star Trek stories, like even the ones where, you know, the computer has some purpose and then just, you know, doggedly pursues that purpose. The reason those stories work for us is because we can understand how a particularly stubborn or confused or dim human would do that. Like, right. We are still modeling the artificial intelligence as a human, say, oh, now I understand. Oh, you told the computer it's got to collect all the rocks. And so now it's like removing all the rocks from the entire planet. Isn't that a silly thing?
Right. It's like very intelligent, but also very stupid at the same time.
Right. And also, like, the idea of, like, you want to accomplish a job. And, like, there are analogies in for the human experience that make us understand the computer. And that's almost certainly not how a computer that was not deliberately designed to be human-like would certainly not. We wouldn't be able to model how it's behaving by saying, oh, I've known people like that. Or it would be like dogs, like where you map human motivations and emotions onto something that doesn't exactly have them. And this is like, you know, 10 times worse because it's not even a mammal.